Back in the fan, it's the Ken Carman Show. 216-578-0092. Tweet at us at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. A little bit nervous. I usually don't get worked up over any sort of an interview. Today, a very special treat and certainly an exception to it. As we go to the AdventureAutoGroup.com hotline, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you know we are tremendous fans of Trailer Park Boys that you can see on Netflix. And now we welcome into the show the man who plays Jim Leahy, Trailer Park Supervisor, Sunnyvale Trailer Park. John Dunsworth joins us courtesy of the AdventureAutoGroup.com hotline. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
That was quite the introduction, Kenny. You didn't boggle up once.
John, when you look back over what the Trailer Park Boys have been, and I know season 9 comes out March 27th, but when you look back over what this has meant to your fan base, you know, where do you think it all starts from? Because it seems to be that there's a real connection with a fan base where it seems like, even though it's mockumentary, it seems to be real, and somehow we can all relate.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, I ask people why they like it, and they say, because it's funny. I say, well, why is it funny? And they say, because it makes me laugh. And so it's kind of one of those circuitous arguments. But Mike Clattenburg, the guy who originally started Trailer Park Boys, I asked him why people like it so much, because I couldn't figure it out. And he says it's because it's about losers. He says, but it's about hero losers, just like all of us.
We all have some sort of a problem there, John. I mean, we've all been through the ups and downs, and I think part of that is where we can find fun in characters and humility in the characters like Ricky and Julian and Bubbles, and certainly you and Randy and everybody else in the park. When you look back, tell me how this all came about, where you were cast as Jim Leahy.
Well, it started before Trailer Park. This is John Dunsworth speaking.
Yes.
When you need to talk to Jim, I'll channel him for you. But way back when, in 1990-something, we did a little show called One Last Shot, which was a story about Ricky and Julian. They weren't Ricky and Julian then. And I was a pet store owner, a drunken pet store owner named Jim Leahy. And I remember I was in a big cage, and I had rats climbing all over me, which didn't make the final cut. But from that, it was a success. I mean, I won Best Actor, he won Best Director, and we finished editing it a half an hour before it went to the Atlantic Film Festival, and there was no budget. I mean, the only money we spent was gas for the mobile and film for the camera or videotape. But all of the actors and all of the locations and everything were all donated, so From that sprung the first black and white Trailer Park movie, which I don't know if you can see that. Barry Dunn, who plays Ray, Ricky's father, said we should see if we could sell that to a network. And Mike and Barry Dunn went to Toronto and hit some of the networks, and they said it wasn't funny. But they lucked into Showcase, and Showcase was looking for programming. And they talk to the right person, and the rest is history.
You know, it is a different type of humor. I mean, it is it's a real humor. And, you know, when we talk off air, there's a lot of blue language that we say, and we get to pick that up on the show. How tough was that at the very beginning when you talked to Barry Dunn? How tough was that to pitch that and to get a television network like Showcase to pick that up?
Well, the only line the Showcase ever said that they didn't want Jim Leahy to say was, I'm sorry, I can't work with you today, folks. I have an appointment with Dr. Drunk as F***. But they did have some trouble. For example, they said they only wanted a certain number of F***s on the show. And so the boys would say, well, can we trade you a couple of for a F***? But it was, and it has been, I'm sure, a little bit of a struggle with the producers. I mean, I remember there's a scene where I'm in the shower smoking a cigarette and talking on the phone, the cell phone, while the shower is running and having a drink at the same time. And I remember when we were shooting it, I heard Mike from down the other end of the trailer in Video Village say, we got to shoot it without seeing his underpants. Right, because I had my underwear on. So I just took them off. And because I'm not the least bit shy, I'm not really an exhibitionist, and off the set, you would never see me like that.
Of course.
But no, but I'm committed. Jim Leahy is committed, and I should be committed. But I took my pants off, and they shot the scene, and they dubbed, or they put the little black mark over my private parts. But on the one of the copies did not have that deletion. And that was sent by mistake, and it was aired in Canada way back when, season 2 or 3 or 4, whatever it was. And I was the first male nude on, I think, American television.
Wow.
And they were very embarrassed about it. I said, I don't give a darn. So they gave me a check and said, you're allowed to sue if you want, but here's some money for your problem, for your troubles. So, hey, you know, we usually didn't have that kind of, you know, a mix-up. It's a very well-run organization. It might seem a little bit, you know, helter-skelter, but people say, hey, that show really isn't scripted, is it? Yes, it's 95% scripted for sure, and it's labored on. And it's the same now. The boys are writing season 10 right now, and they'll work long and hard, and then they'll rewrite it. And our job is to make it seem like it's off the cuff.
Well, and there's part of it, and I like what you say, John Dunsworth joining us, Jim Leahy from Trailer Park Boys, in the second movie, or at least in a Countdown to Liquor Day, and there's the part there right as it's building towards the very end when you're on top of the bank, and I didn't even realize it till like the third time I watched it, is that you're running around in the background in the bathrobe. Like, there is real strong attention to detail and little subtleties that sometimes we don't even pick up from the first time we actually watch that. That's how much detail is paid attention to this.
Well, Clattenburg was a genius in orchestrating background. There was a dog that that he discovered under one of the trailers that was close to death, you know, vermin-ridden, you know, like just really poor shape. And he rescued it and took it to the vet and saved its life and groomed it. And it's a star in some of the background shots. You'll see a dog running through the background. That's that dog. Mm. I mean, there's so many stories like that. I mean, in season 8, when we were up in Truro shooting that, because we had a new park then, because the park that we built was raised. People don't realize it, but for 3 years we shot in a park that we built ourselves, and it was around an abandoned hospital. But when we were up in Truro, my daughter Sarah, who does the wardrobe and also plays Sarah on the show, she met this young group of kids there, and since she was doing wardrobe, she got them all sneakers and clothes and stuff, and then she discovered some abandoned cats and brought them back and distributed them to my other daughters, her sisters. And there are so many little stories like that. And even though the show itself is extremely interesting, the periphery is easily as interesting.
You know, it's amazing, and you say that, and I see so much detail that's in the actual show. There is a different part of it, though. And I do remember there was a CBC interview that you did with someone who seemed that he had a problem with Trailer Park Boys after the first run, before this run. What do you say to something like that when people seem to have some sort of a problem? Because the reason I like it is because, yeah, again, it's a mockumentary, but it seems very real, and
Ken,
I've ran into these people.
Ken, listen.
Yeah.
I think your show is no good because I think that you're too opinionated, Ken. Now, wouldn't you love to be talked to someone like that once in a while instead of someone says, Ken, I love your show, man.
True. I like that.
Yeah, because you know yourself, if I get 10 reviews and they're all positive and one's negative, that's the guy I want to phone and say, hey, listen, it was really good. Maybe I could tell you how, right?
Yeah.
But I'll give you a little scoop here. That guy was named Jim Nunn.
Yeah.
And if you look it up, Jim Leahy and Jim Nunn or something like that on Google, CBC, you'll see it, and you'll see this real jerk, you know, attacking John Dunsworth. But if you look at the last show we did, the last full-length movie, which, what was it called? The one where Ricky went to, Don't Legalize It.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in that.
You're kidding. I saw that. I didn't even realize he was in that.
Yeah, he is one of the senators.
Oh, my God.
And that interview, believe it or not, he was half joking. He phoned me that day and said, John, Trailer Park is wrapping up. Can we interview you? And I said, sure. He said, come on in this afternoon, we'll tape it. I said, I'm in production right now, but I'll come in and we'll do it live. So he said, how would you mind if I played the devil's advocate? I said, go for it. So a lot of what he was doing, he was playing a jerk. If you'll see him, he was not really being a journalist there at all. He was attacking me, and I didn't even get a chance to respond.
Have you ever ran into that type of opposition?
Very, very seldom. Like, every day I get 30, minimum 30, more like 50 Jim Leahy, a.k.a. John Dunsworth, or whatever, the opposite of that. And I get all of these comments. I get people thanking me for saving their lives, people asking advice. Only one of 100 says like a lot of them want me to say Jim Leahy rude stuff to them, but only 1 in 100 really comes on to me, like, you're not my favorite character in Trailer Park Boys and stuff like that. And I love it.
Everybody seems to love Bubbles. Your character happens to be my favorite. Jim happens to be my favorite. Where was the change, though, from season one to season two, where Jim becomes pretty bitter and pretty drunk?
I don't remember that.
Overall, there was no thought where we're going to turn Jim Leahy into this, or?
Right now, I'm working on another series. I'm playing a priest.
Really?
Yeah, and we start shooting on Monday, and we're shooting with a big American star, which I'm not allowed to mention to you. But I've been spending the last week studying the lines and studying my motivation. And I watched last season, and I'm on episode 8 right now, and I have 4 more to watch before Monday, to try to get myself into the ethos or the zeitgeist or the whatever. But I never did that with Trailer Park Boys. I memorized the lines, and I went on set, and Mike Clattenburg, the director, would say, I want 8 out of 10 drunk, I want 6 out of 10 anger, and I want 2 out of 10 pathos, Dunsworth, because you always try to make your character seem sympathetic.
That is absolutely incredible. I don't even think about, and this is where you're in a different world than me. We're talking to John Dunsworth, Jim Leahy from Trailer Park Boys. John, this is where you're in a completely different world, because, and I mean absolutely no disrespect here. The way we see it, and with the way I might see it as an audience, is that, okay, here's your lines, you go out, you do it. And a lot of this is emotion, a lot of this is character, or a lot of this is feeling a character and actually getting inside that character?
You know, not for Trailer Park Boys, as I say. I mean, for me to play, I don't drink. And and I haven't really been, a student of inebriation. I'm around drunks a little bit. But the drunk that I play is just right off the cuff. I mean, it always has been right from the beginning. Mike would just say, stir it up. Like Bubbles right now, or Mike Smith, and the boys, they're writing for me right now. And Mike Clattenburg isn't involved anymore because the three boys own the franchise now. And they Mike likes, Randy, I want to tell you about, listen, this is the most important. He really likes it when I go off. So that you can't understand what I'm saying, only a word here and there. He loves it. So that's what he tries to write. And I deviate from that because I think the storyline... Do you remember the Fisher speech from season 8?
Gosh, when it came back...
Julian, did I ever tell you the story of the Fisher? Who went down to Lake to catch some fish. And he threw his... net into the water, and no fish jumped into the net, Julian. So he took out his bagpipe, and lo, the net was full with fish. And then he was pulling it up, this little old fish said, Julian, not Julian, he says, Leahy says, see, I can catch you now when I play my bagpipes, and the fish said, when you're in a man's power, Julian, you must do as he bids you. Like, I really wanted to tell the whole story, and Mike kept saying, John, you don't need to. But he spent a lot of time writing that, and he stole it from one of the Grimm fairy tales or something like that. But there, you're right. There's so much in the Trailer Park Boys, in the actual filming and depiction and realization that you don't see. Like, I have some of my speeches I put into iambic pentameter, you know, 10 beats to the line, because I love that form, because I used to play, a lot of Shakespeare, and I've always loved sonnets. And one of my speeches I wrote as a sonnet.
That's incredible. It's, I have no idea how the method actually works. John Dunsworth joining us on the show. What got you into acting?
It was way back when. I mean, I was 20 years old, 19 years old at the University of Guelph after flunking out first 2 years at Dalhousie here in Halifax. I left town, not in disgrace, but sort of in frustration. A lot of talent, a lot of ability, but, you know, ADHD or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And I went back as a mature student to the University of Guelph, and on my second semester, they had an acting course as an elective. So I took that, and bang, I was hooked. I mean, I played Shylock in The Merchant of Venice, Oscar Wilde, and I played in Brecht. And I decided then when I was like 21 years old that I'd spend the rest of my years in the theater. And for the first 20 years, it was theater, live theater, professional theater. And then I opened my own casting company called Filmworks Casting, which is still going after 30 years.
When you have Sarah, and I do believe your youngest is also an actress.
Molly.
Yes. What is the exchange of ideas there? How do you guys work off each other as a family?
My kids are kind of independent, especially Sarah. Mm. Sarah has gone her own way. I mean, I never really, well, I shouldn't say I never really pushed them, of course. I used Sarah when she was like 6 years old, and Zoe, she was about 6 years old, had her own series, and Molly, she played, you know, she doubled Kirsten Dunst when she was about 7 years old, and my son Jeffrey, I had working on a Hollywood movie when he was about seven as a stunt driver on a bicycle, so I can't say I didn't kind of encourage them, but all of them are involved in film right now, and I hope they're as happy as I am, because I'm 68 and I've just had a wonderful life.
When they approach you to restart the series a couple of years ago, was it just something that, yep, we're doing this, or was there, you know, a little bit of a question for you?
Well, a number of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I was working out in my yard and the phone rang and a couple of the producers were on and said, we're shutting it down. We don't want you to tour anymore, because Randy and I tour all over.
Yes.
We just came back from out west. We just put 4,800 miles on our rental car, driving over the mountains twice, over the Rockies. And we're going back out. And we've done hundreds and hundreds of shows in the last dozen years. And so I really didn't miss shooting that much, I have to say. But when the boys phoned and said, you know, we're shutting her down and we don't want you to tour anymore, I really got upset. And I said, you know, the heck with you. And we kept touring. Well, a couple of years ago, they decided that they wanted to make another movie because it was a great cash cow. But Julie and Ricky and Bubbles said, no, we're not making another movie unless you sell us the franchise, because we don't want to be your puppets anymore. And so that's what they did. They bought the franchise, and now they have something called SwearNet, which has like 10,000 subscribers, and it's their own television channel. And I do a thing on there called Jim Leahy and the Liquor Stories. And it might be the funniest thing that Jim Leahy's ever done. And people love it. It's me, you know, with a smoking jacket on, talking about my favorite liquors. And I have different bottles and, you know, like a Mountie on a horse bottle of scotch. And I'll tell about where it's made and what kind of buzz you can get off and that kind of thing. And it's really fun.
Outside of Trailer Park Boys, what's your favorite project that you've done?
Well, I know it's glib, but the one I'm working on now is always the one that is whether it's theater or whether it's whatever, you know, whether I'm making a speech to the, you know, Kiwanis Club or whatever. Whatever I'm working on now seems to be the one that gives me the juice. And the one I'm working on now, it's called Forgive Me. And it's only, you can only see it through Super Channel, which is a, you know, it's a, I think it's a pay-per-view channel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think it's the most intelligent and beautiful work that I've ever been privy to be part of.
That's incredible. John Dunsmore.
I'm playing a priest.
Yeah.
And Olympia Dukakis was, I was just watching her today. She just blows my mind. The writing is incredible. It's so, anyway, so you see my point. I love what I'm working on at the present.
It's incredible. John Dunsworth joining us on the show. The final thing, because I got to wrap it up at some point, and I wish I didn't have to. I swear to God, I really wish I didn't have to, John.
You don't have to.
I have to ask you, what would you, when this ever does end, what do you want the series to be remembered as? What would you like Jim Leahy to be remembered as? Is there any thought that you've ever had to that?
I think about legacy all the time because I'm getting up there. But this isn't. This is entertainment, you know, and it will go. I mean, not very many people remember Mary Tyler Moore,
mm-hmm.
But when they die, that memory dies. And, you know, when the people who watch Trailer Park Boys and pass on, there's nothing left. I mean, in the years to come, some people go back and watch MASH, because it was really ahead of its time and a wonderful thing. But and everybody who knows Alan Alda thinks he's just a wonderful actor. But I just hope we don't do something that will besmirch the image. I mean, it's so easy nowadays for, you know, to be pilloried by, you know, by public opinion. I mean,
yeah.
We've had a lot of people fall by the wayside. I mean, I saw a caption on one of those weekly magazines, you know, the ones you see in the grocery store. The headline said, "Obama insane." I mean, I think that's essentially, I would like Trailer Park Boys not to be seen in the future as something that was a sick aberration.
It seems to be, it can't be that way. And I'm not saying that just to placate or anything like that. I mean, John, I have to tell you, when Richard Collins passed away within the last year, we get messages. And I've just been a fan of the show. We'll get messages, as our show is, from people who, gosh, did you see Philadelphia? Richard Collins died. Philadelphia Collins died. And we get these tributes. And I think it's just too real. I honestly, I think it feels like it's too real. It seems to hit a point of home where I don't think it could ever do something like that. I got to be honest.
Have you ever heard of Banff?
No.
Banff is a resort here in Canada. It's very famous.
Okay.
It's like Tahoe or some other, you know, like the Alamo, and it's an iconic place. But Banff is, you know, is a ski town, and people from all over the world come there. People from all over the world work there. A lot of Americans, Australians, Brits. But we did it. Randy and I did a show there 2 weeks ago, and we did a toast to Philadelphia Collins, and we went, "Banff, peanut butter and jam."
What the F are you doing, Phil?
I know, and everybody in the audience was doing it with us. And we hope that it carries over so people in Banff go, "Banff."
That's incredible. John, I thank you so much for the time. All the blessings in the future, and hopefully we can talk to you sometime again.
I love you, Ken.
Thank you very much, sir.
And to all your audience who watch the Trailer Park Boys and enjoy it, there's more great stuff coming.
Oh, and we look forward to it. John, thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.